let's do that.
Well, let me just start with a general framework of this work, which is the problem of biogenesis. There are indeed two questions which are related with this problem. The first question is why is the density of virus much less than the density of photons? And the second question is why is the observable part of the universe the density of virions many orders of magnitude greater than the density of antivariants? Since 1967, we know that every mechanism that makes an attempt to solve the problem of biogenesis has to satisfy three Sakharov conditions. In particular, this kind of problem, this kind of models have to exhibit a first order phase transition. In the framework of minimal standard model, there are these two scenarios which make such an attempt. The electroweak biogenesis and then the electroweak biogenesis and constant magnetic field. Is there any later point here?
No, I just used the stick.
I have to use this one. Okay. As for the electroweak phase transition at finite temperature, we know since mid-70s that taking an effective potential, including only one loop contribution on one corrections, the phase transition is of second order and the critical temperature is more than 200 GeV. But this result changes dramatically if one adds a so-called ring correction to this one loop effective potential. And it is shown by Carrington in 1992 that the order of the time of the phase transition changes from second order to third order and the critical temperature increases to almost 140 GeV. Let me just remind you what are the ring diagrams or ring Castle diagrams in finite temperature field theory. There are some non-perturbative contributions to the effective action, and they capture the behavior, the IR behavior of the theory. QED, for example, they are given by these kind of bubble diagrams. These are photon bubbles with insertions of vacuum polarization sensor. And these areas can be added up to this following expression. Here, D0 is the photon propagator, the free photon propagator, and pi mu is the vacuum polarization sensor. And to calculate this integral here over three momentum k and the summation over the maximum frequency n, it is convenient to use a so-called static limit. In the static limit, we set the maximum frequency equal to zero. And in particular, in the vacuum polarization tensor, the three momentum k is also set to be zero. So the k integration now can be performed, and the effective potential of this electroweak static model is given by the 0,0 component of the vacuum polarization tensor at zero momentum. Now, what the problem of electroweak biogenesis at finite temperature concerns, it is widely believed that although the minimal electroweak standard model has all the necessary ingredients for successful biogenesis, neither the amount of CP violation nor the strength of this electroweak phase transition are enough to generate sizable baryon numbers. This is an unsatisfactory result, but the lesson we learned from this calculation is that adding the ring contribution to the effective potential has been two different effects. First, the time of phase transition is changed, and then the critical temperature is decreased. So in the recent years, there were some papers, a series of papers, attempting to solve the biogenesis problem by looking at the electroweak phase transition in strong magnetic field. These people work with an effective potential including the one loop and the ring contribution, but the ring contribution is calculated in the so-called static limit, as I said before. And the result is that the phase transition is is of first order for strong magnetic fields of order 10 to the 23, 10 to the 24 Gauss, but the biogenesis condition are still not satisfied. Well, to improve this result, we just suggest that instead of using the static limit to solve the ring potential, it is better to use the so-called IR limit. to calculate the ring potential, or at least the ring contribution to the effective potential. In this other limit, we set as before the maximum frequency n equal to zero, but in particular, the three moments of k in the vacuum polarization tensor is kept to be non-zero. But to check the efficiency of this novel approximation, we have made a test, and this is the content of this paper, and I will present the result today. We have checked the dynamical chiasymmetry, we have studied the dynamical chiasymmetry breaking of QED in the presence of very strong magnetic field in a so-called lowest Landau limit approximation, and we have looked for the critical temperature, and we have checked in how efficient is this IR limit in decreasing the critical temperature arising from one loop effect. That is the content of the first of the talk. So I will show you the results for the QED effective potential of the improved IR limit. And then I will calculate the ring potential in the weak and strong magnetic limit. I will then study the dynamical chiasymmetry breaking of QED in this lowest Landau level approximation. And then show you the results for the dynamically generated Fermi mass. And also the critical temperature in the static as well as in the IR limit. And then I will show you some numerical calculation which check the efficiency of these IR limits. Well, to the QED1 effective potential previously calculated by Sato in 1998, it is given by this expression here, which is calculated using a so-called Moore-Lang formalism. I have nothing to say about the one-loop contribution. It can only be separated in a T-dependent and a T-independent part. As for the ring potential at finite temperature and finite magnetic field, as I said before, it is given by this combination of the free photon propagator and the vacuum polarization tensor. And to determine this combination here, we follow the following procedure here. We look for the eigenvalue equation of this pi mu tensor. E are the eigenvectors and kappa are the eigenvalues of the vacuum polarization tensor. So these kind of eigenvalue equations are previously being studied long time ago by Ferris, Rojas, and Shabbat. Now, in terms of these eigenvectors, E, the free photon propagator and also the vacuum polarization tensor have the following structure. And combining these two together, the ring potential has a very simple form. This is the full ring potential for all Maxwellian frequency and for all moments of K. But in order to calculate them in the ring potential in the IR limits, we have only to set the maximum frequency n equal to zero, or equivalent, you have to take k zero to zero limit. This is the structure of the ring potential of QED for finite magnetic field and temperature. Here, these kappas, which were the eigenvalue of the eigenvalue equation of pi mu, are given in the following expressions here. They are functions explicitly dependent on these three moments of k. And they are also dependent on this I1, I2, I3, I4, which are some integrals, which were again previously calculated by Alexander in 2001. So, in order to compare these results with the ordinary result by the static limit, it is enough to set this k, this three moments of k, in the kappa I is equal to zero. By doing this, you see that the kappa I for I equal 1 to 1, 3 and 4 vanish, and only the kappa 2 survives, and it is given by the 0-0 component of the vacuum polarization tensor at 0 moment. Now, plugging this expression here the above expression, you arrive at this thing here, and the K integration can now be performed, and this is the well-known result of the ring potential in the static limit. But in the improved IR limits, we have to calculate this K integration. It is only possible to do this in the weak magnetic field anymore, strong magnetic field limits. In the weak magnetic field limits, which is characterized by these two conditions, we have to evaluate these I integrations in the limit EB to zero. So the I integration are separated in a K-dependent part and a K-independent part. Of course, the K-dependent part appear only in the iron limits. They are absent in the static limits. So the ring potential, the iron limit has an additional term here, E2 over M squared, which is absent in the static limits. But taking the high temperature expansion here by taking the limit M beta to zero, we arrive at the following expression, and then after taking the decoupling limit, we arrive at this expression here. And the first term is the familiar term, which is proportional to alpha to the power 3.5, but the second term is again an additional term which appears only in the higher limit. This kind of term appears also previously in the QCD at finite temperature, but without any magnetic field. They are calculated using the so-called hard term under the expansion. It would be interesting to do the same program also for QED and QCD in the presence of external electromagnetic fields. Okay, from now on, I would like to concentrate on the strong magnetic field limit. At zero temperature, the strong magnetic field limit is, QED in a strong magnetic field limit is characterized by some nano levels. These nano levels appear also in non relativistic quantum mechanics. And for strong enough magnetic field, these levels are very separated. And it is justified to go in the to make an approximation to go in the lowest Landau level. So the quantum field theory in the lowest Landau level approximation is actually an effective quantum field theory, which replaces the full theory. So the effective quantum electrodynamics at zero temperature in the presence of very strong magnetic field has two properties. The first property is that the so-called dynamical carrier symmetry break. The carrier symmetry of the theory is dynamically broken due to a dynamically generated fermionic mass. And then this fermionic mass is just given this expression. It can be calculated by solving a certain Schwinger Geiser equation. The second property is the dimensional reduction from d to d minus 2. So if one starts, for example, with a four-dimensional theory and then use this lowest Landau level approximation, the effective field theory in the lowest Landau level is effectively two-dimensional. And this two-dimensional theory, photons are a finite mass. Here, the photon mass is just given by the square root of eB. Where B is the magnetic field strength of the magnetic field. As for QED ring potential in strong magnetic field at non-zero temperature, this limit is characterized by these conditions here. We have again to evaluate the I integrals in the limit EB over M squared to infinity, and then we arrive at this novel result here, where LI2 is a dilogarithmic function. C1 here is a function of this dynamical mass m, is given by the following expression. So taking again the limit m beta to zero, we arrive at the logarithmic structure here, log of 2 alpha e b over m squared appear here. This kind of logarithmic structure appears also in QCD at finite temperature. They are calculated by Fermilab 1983. Now, comparing to the static limit, no logarithmic structure appear here. Here we start with a ring potential, with this ring potential. In the static limit, I take the limit EB to infinity, and we arrive at this expression here. These are quite different, these two results. Now let me come to the dynamical chiral symmetry breaking in the lowest Landau level approximation, and I would like to answer the question, how efficient is this IR limit in order to understand how efficient is this iron limiting to decrease in decreasing the critical temperature of this pyrosymmetric breaking arising from one loop effective potential. As I mentioned before, the QE in the lowest dynamo level exhibit a dynamical symmetric breaking, and that is due to a dynamically generated fermionic mass. And the gap equation for this fermionic mass is just given by the potential in the following way. Using this famous relation between the chiral condensate and the potential, the gap equation has a very simple form. It's given by this expression here, where for q tilde is just full effective potential between the temperature dependent part of the one loop effective potential and the rate potential. As the what concerns the one loop contribution to the dynamical mass, it is just given by the solution of the gap equation using only the temperature dependent part of the full effective potential. It is given in the following way. It is proportional to the square root of E, it's not that E is the square root of E. And this is an implicit equation in M because C0 and C1 are explicit functions of M. The critical temperature arising from one loop effective potential can also be determined using this equation here. This relation M at the point TC is equal to 0. So the TC1 is given as proportional again by with the square root of EB. Then we come to the ring contribution of the to the dynamical mass. But this is the full dynamical, the full expression arising from the full effective potential. This is the contribution from one loop effective potential. And this exponential function has an exponent which receives contribution from the ring potential. This can be calculated for our two different ring potential in the iron limit and the stack thing separately. I would like to concentrate on the critical temperature, which can be again calculated in the IR and in the static limit separately. This is the expression which arises for the critical temperature in the IR limit, and this is the expression which arises for the critical temperature in the static limit. The difference between these two expressions is in the Z0 dependence of this exponent here. The Z0 is the ratio of of the photon mass over an M0, and M0 is just a fixed T independent mass, the necessary IR factor to solve these equations. Okay, now to generalize the structure of TC and to answer the answer to our question, I have gone through the following procedure. So let's just look at the general structure of TC. It's given by TC1 times this exponential, where this K0 is different for the IR limit and the static limit, as I mentioned before. So by defining the two parameters U and A, where U is the ratio of TC1 over TC, and A, which is the ratio of M0 over TC1, this equation can be rewritten in this following form. And this expression can be solved for U. U is just given by, this is the definition of U, TC1 over TC, but solving the mass equation, we have this result here. Gamma U of M minus A kappa over minus A kappa. A is the ratio over M0 over TC1. And this gamma U is nothing else than the first numbered WZ function, which is a function which satisfies this equation here. Now we can choose different kappa here for different for our different limits, IR limits and the static limit, and IR have different U's, for example. Now, to answer to our question, the question was how efficient is the ring contribution in the IR or in the static limit in decreasing the critical temperature of dynamical symmetric breaking, which arises from one loop effective potential. We can define a, okay, only one. We can define an efficiency factor. The efficiency factor is this eta. The eta is just a difference between the TC, it's coming from the full effective potential, and the TC1, arising from the one with effective potential. That's an efficiency factor. And choosing now the M0 echo, for example, M0 was a temperature independent mass. Choosing M0 echo, for example, the Fermi mass at zero temperature, which is 0.5 MeV. And alpha, this is the fine structure constant, equal 1 over 137 MeV. And A equal 1. This choice is justified from the literature too. So we have calculated this eta, this efficiency factor, for various magnetic field in an interval of 10 to the 14 to 10 to the 22 Gauss. So this interval is again relevant as well as in the astrophysics of neutron stars, where it is believed that the magnetic field is about 10 to the 13, 10 to the 15 Gauss. It is also relevant in the ion collision experiments with, where it is believed that in the center of gold collisions, like a very strong magnetic field of orbit, 16 to 17 Gauss appears. So you see here, for example, for a given value of magnetic field, the efficiency factor for these IR limits is much, much greater than the efficiency factor for these strong static limits. This is 2.32%. This is the difference between the critical temperature arising from the full effective potential and the one with effective potential. So we conclude, therefore, that comparing to the static limit, the IR limit is more efficient in decreasing the critical temperature. And what concerns the problem of baryogenesis, it is still a work in progress. I can't say anything about it. But this was the first test just to check is the efficiency of this new approximation. Okay.
Question. Okay, well, let's thank our speaker again. Our speaker is Stefan Osterhoff, speaking on new results from here.